You would please, and open up to Genesis chapter number 2. Wasn't that a blessing tonight? Say amen. Oh, I enjoyed that. That was so wonderful. Man, I was getting mesmerized with the changing of the hymns there, and what a wonderful job, Jen and Miss Hughes. Wonderful job this evening. Genesis chapter number 2 in the Word of God this evening. Genesis chapter number 2 in the Word of God tonight. As you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We've been in a series on Sunday nights that I am just truly so excited to be in. And we're going through, we're going to be looking at family matters on Sunday nights. And we'll skip around just a little bit through the summer, but it's already been just fantastic over the last several Sundays. We had Pastor Brian Sams here with us last Sunday night. But just jumping back in and looking at this subject of family matters. And again, I think it's going to be, you just pray for me that the Lord will give me the exact words to say. As just been praying about, fasting, putting these series together. A lot of research is going to go into it. As we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, some of the subjects might not necessarily pertain to your lifestyle. Stage, but that does not mean that you cannot get something out of it. And I just want to put a little asterisk in here and just say this very quickly. Now watch your pastor's heart for just a moment. By no means to anything that I preach over the next several weeks is meant to be because I have heard something and or because I've counseled someone and or, well, I saw this on Facebook, so I'm just going to throw this in there. Now, listen very carefully. At times, that's what I feel like we do. We hear it and we say, oh, well, preacher must have heard about so-and-so, and so he's preaching on that. No. At times when you and I feel like, well, maybe this is pointed at me or aimed at myself or our family, possibly it's the Holy Spirit that is convicting us and talking to us. And that's the time to talk back. That's the time to get things right. That's the time to be encouraged. Over the next several weeks, let me just put it this way. By touching on the matters that we're going to be touching on does not mean that Pastor Shepherd has arrived in any of these areas. In fact, this is a true story just today. We went and Carrie said, where do you want to eat? And I said, just to be honest, I just want a Panda Express. It was on my mind. I just want some rice and some of that honey walnut shrimp. And it's one of my favorites there. So I said, let's just get that. And then we can be home quickly and we can kind of spend the afternoon together and get some stuff done around the house. We're outside and it kind of got burnt a little bit. My nose did anyways. But we go into Panda Express and we all come out. We all load up in the car. I do my little run through. Is everybody here? Yep, we're all here. And I kind of glance around. And I can always point out my section of the car. Carrie can point out her section of the car. Carrie gives me the thumbs up. We get on the road. I pull out a Panda Express and somebody says, where's London? Yes, she is on my side of the car that I'm supposed to be counting. And I totally did not count her in. She could kind of hide back there in the corner. Yep, I left my daughter at Panda Express. Okay, so by no means do I have it all together when it's talking about raising kids. I can't even get them all in the car out of the parking lot. London's sitting up here with me tonight. She's going to be with me over the next couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? And I love you, girl. And I apologize. That it's funny because I came back and Carrie ran inside. Y'all moms do. Mama Bear kicks in, runs inside. And there's London sitting there, came out of the bathroom. I knew you'd come back for me. She just kind of sitting there and I gave her a cookie to eat. And they lived happily ever after. Okay, we still have 5 kids. Praise Lord for that. But I had to say, we talk about family matters. Look, we're going to get down to kind of the nuts and the bolts of it. And it's not to say that anybody in here has raised perfect kids. And if you think you do, you did not. And it's not to say we have all of our marriages together. But I will say, I think we need to hear it like this. God's word has designed a plan, the way for a family to work. And we follow God's way. Well, it works. So let's follow his way. Genesis chapter number 2, would you look with me at verse number 18? We've been in verses number 24 and 25 over the last several weeks. Let's back up a little bit. Let's look at verse number 18 of Genesis 2. The Bible says this. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see. And he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every, think about this, every living creature, that was the name thereof. Has anybody ever gotten confused with names? Can't remember them all. Can you imagine being Adam? He named them all and remembered them. The whole animal kingdom. Adam was an impressive human being. And Adam, verse number 20, gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. And Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Once again, I want to look at the subject this evening dealing with the family portrait. The family portrait. Let's go to our Savior in prayer. Father, as we deal with these subjects once again tonight, Lord, I ask that you'd give me the words to say. Father, I really believe what's going to be preached tonight, every marriage and every future marriage in here, we need this. God, it may not always be easy to preach a lot like the message this morning, but God, we cannot hold back in these last days. We need your word to guide us. Help us, Father, once again to rightly divide the word of truth. Give us what we need, the milk and the honey, but Father, also give us the meat that we need from your word tonight. I love you, Savior. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Once again, diving into this series, and as we dive into this series, we've been looking at the family portrait. Remember, I'm not going to go into it tonight, but a family portrait often hangs on our walls. That family portrait is what everyone else sees. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Kids are smiling. The adults look happy. You're holding hands. The wind's not blowing your hair around. Everybody's saying cheese. It's beautiful. It's what people often comment on when they walk into your office or they walk into your room or they walk into your dining room, your living room, whatever the case might be. That family portrait is always there. When we begin to look at that, most people do not see what takes place behind the scenes when it comes to taking a family picture. In fact, we've even said oftentimes that at Cross Point, that family picture is oftentimes what we see in each other's life. We see our kids coming up here and playing their instrument, and we see our kids around the church, and we see each other dressed up, and we see husbands and wives holding hands, and everybody's smiling, and for an hour on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, an hour on Wednesday night, we kind of see that family portrait, but we do not see what goes on behind the scenes. And so what we've been talking about over the next several weeks, we're going to get but kind of behind the scenes look at what takes place in the nuts and bolts of a family. Raising kids, raising grandkids, having a marriage that is right and godly and pure and working. You see, we've seen 2 weeks prior to Dr. Sam's preaching that the marriages of today, the family life of today, is very much under attack. We've seen it's under attack by Hollywood and homosexuality and immorality and these other subjects that we've talked about. Therefore, we must continue to fight for what God holds dear. What God created, you and I can go to, and that ought to be our foundation. And when you say tonight by an amen that what God has created is really created in a perfect manner, if you believe that, say amen. Of course. So therefore, we must have a foundation. We must stand on it. So tonight, we're going to talk simply about marriage this evening. Marriage this evening. Now, hold on. Now, everybody, as soon as I say that, one word, marriage, man, we look at that and we say, oh, preacher, I'm not married anymore. You know, my spouse went home to be with the Lord. Or, I'm not married yet, and I'm still in high school. Or I'm just a freshman in college. Or, yeah, I'm not there yet, so good. I can sit back, relax, jump on my phone, and just kind of daydream too. No. Does it matter, children, what life stage you're in? Does it matter how long you've been married? this evening, let's talk about marriage for a little while, and let's see what the Bible has to say about it, and let's grow together in it. Let's grow together in it. Now, we've all heard the expression, maybe at one time or another, maybe you haven't heard it in a long time, but we've heard the expression that it was a marriage made in heaven. If you've ever heard that expression before, would you raise your hand? You've heard that. It was a marriage made in heaven. We've talked about oftentimes young people getting married, walking down the aisles. Had two marriages this past week, and or weddings this past week. And it's just funny because sometimes Karen and I, oh, they're just the cutest couple. Oh, you know, he's so handsome. She's so beautiful. And oh, there's just this. And when we talk about, and sometimes we'll throw out there that it's a marriage made in heaven. But does a marriage like that really exist? I mean, has there ever been such a thing really as a perfect marriage? Well, if we look at it, probably not. There really has never been a perfect marriage, or really a marriage that you just look at and it's always been this kind of rainbows, butterflies, grace, wonderful, it's beautiful, and there's never hard times. No, there's hard times in marriage. But there was a marriage that was made in paradise. That marriage was in the text that we just read. You see, we're given the details of the very first wedding here. When it took place at this time in Genesis chapter 2, there's no sin in the world. At this time when God created Adam and we created Eve and when he brought them together, understand this, that the marriage rate was 100% and the divorce rate was zero. Then we read that the fall came. And sin entered into the world, and with sin came problems, and with sin came wretchedness, and with sin came darkness, and with this sin came the curse that God put upon this ground and this earth. And with that, we begin to see trouble comes into the house. When the fall took place, we now begin to understand that this perfect marriage, this perfect environment, it does not exist anymore. You say, Pastor, do you really think that our marriages in the Christian realm is in trouble? Without a doubt. Now, let me put it this way. Understand that in this century, the century that you and I live in, the divorce rate has risen 700%. In 1960, think about this now, in 1960, not too many years ago, I'm not sure, Pastor Chris, is my mic or not, but it seems to be making a noise. Guys, if you can adjust that, if you can't get it, I'll hold a handheld or whatever, but it's bugging me. It might not be bugging anybody else, but let's try to tune that in just a little bit there. But in the 1960, watch very carefully, there were 393,000 divorces. Now think about this, total. 393,000 divorces total. Now there are over 1.6 million every year. Over 1 million children in America will be involved in a divorce case in the next 6 months. Of course, there are sociologists that are saying that we can expect that the divorce rate will begin to decline over the next 3 to 4 years. Now, for us, we think, man, that's great and that's good. But I often wonder, is it because we have developed better social skills, or is it because we've better know how to communicate with each other or be able to work with each other, a husband and wife, more in a productive type of manner? But no. The reason that the divorce rate, in a sense, is going to begin to decline is because young people will begin to live with each other unmarried more than they will be getting married. So therefore, if two people come together and they're just living together, well, of course, the divorce rates are going to decline because they have never been married. Now, let me put it like this. Listen very carefully, everyone. Understand, young people. It is never God's will for a man and a woman to live together until they are married, period. If you believe that, say amen. It's God's way. It doesn't mean, oh, Pastor, you're picking on, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying what thus saith the Lord. And God's design for a man and a woman is to be married. And I just almost get tired nowadays of this pushback that we're seeing from young Christian people that are beginning to act like it is okay. My friend, I can't pause here long, but I'm just saying, you and I got to be really careful at beginning to go back on what we've been preaching from the Word of God for centuries now. All of a sudden, we're beginning to see this kickback, and we want to put a hashtag love on it, and all of a sudden, it's okay for homosexuality amongst Christian people. Friend, it simply defies Almighty God. All of a sudden, we're seeing this pushback of this strong push nowadays of social drinking and getting together and drink and understand the Word of God. And I'm not going to get into the philosophy of it this evening, but I often tell young people, name one good thing that comes from drinking. Name one. You can't name it. The one that everybody always uses, Pastor, is, well, it's good for the stomach. That's what the Bible says. Good for the stomach. I said it today in the Sunday school class. When's the last time your 3-year-old had a stomach ache, a little tummy ache, and you ran to the liquor store, the ABC store, to pick up liquor? That never happens. What do? We go and get, what do we get? It's the pink stuff. Somebody help me out. Pepto-Bismol, it's good for everything. Heartache, diarrhea, and then the rest of it. Okay, anyways, we know that it's good for us. That's the only excuse we ever have. It's what we use. Let me put it this way. Friend, be careful dabbling in something that defies God. And also now we're starting to push for all of our young ladies and for our young men in here tonight. We're starting to see this push of, you know what, Mom, Dad, I know I grew up in church, and I know I went to camp, and I know I grew up on Pastor Pirate song. But to be honest with you, this guy's really cool. She's really beautiful. We're going to get married one day. But for right now, you know, we feel really good just going and living together. Young person, let me put it this way. You are headed for shipwreck. You're headed for disaster. You're going to hurt your parents. You're going to hurt your testimony. You're going to hurt your Savior. Just don't even dabble in it. Amen. Don't even dabble in it. God's design for the family, for marriage, is for a husband and a wife to come together and to stay married. Now, I've said it over and over. I'm just going to keep on saying it until we get it, so nobody walks out of here thinking that someone who is divorced is a second-rate citizen. Friend, if you've been through a divorce, you just keep serving God. If you've been divorced and now you've been remarried, friend, what's happening is in the past. It's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. You just keep serving God with your life. Get together, stay with that spouse, and serve Him. If you agree with that, say amen. Now, I want to look tonight just several moments at marriage. Now, we're probably not going to get through all this, but oh, don't worry about it. It's so good. I want to take our time. I want us to look at, first of all, if you're taking notes, God's intention. First of all, I want you to write this down, God's intention, and look with me at verse number 18. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." You see, there's this concern that God has. There's an intention here that God has. The Garden of Eden was a place of unspeakable beauty and wonder. When God looked at His handiwork, He declared it good until He looked at Adam and saw that Adam was the only one of his kind. And so God says, okay, this is not good. This man has no counterpart like the animal kingdom has. So His decision was to produce, I want you to think about the wording here, was to produce and help for Adam. This word in our English language, help, means one who assists another to reach fulfillment. It speaks of the idea, listen very carefully, of a completer. That's help. In our English language, the word meet refers to one who is suitable to or corresponds to. In other words, God is going to give Adam someone who will fill up what is lacking in his own life. He's going to give him someone that makes him complete. Then let's put it this way. Let's just get right down to it. Let's just say it. Men, gentlemen, we are right brain creatures. Scientifically, this is proven. We are right brain creatures. We often, most of the time, will use the right part of our brain in thinking. That means this, that God has created you and I, that you and I will analyze things, and then we come to a conclusion about whatever. It's just stuff. We analyze it. We come to a conclusion. We love to figure out things.
We'll sit down. How does this work? Was plumbing or electricity or doctrine? We like to analyze and we figure it out. And man, we're a fixer. Don't you love, guys, when your wife comes to you for something and it might be simple. We love to fix it for them. I'll just be honest. I love when Carrie says, "Oh, honey, I can't open this." I almost just like, you know, watch my cape, honey, and let me open that for you. And we get it open and we give it back to her and we feel good. We analyze. That's how you and I work. We like to figure it out. I mean, just call it like it is. We look at something, we see one side of the story, we come to a conclusion, boom, that's it. Now, ladies, on the other hand, not quite like that. Women, on the other hand, have been gifted by God to use both sides of their brain, and they use it simultaneously. They see both sides of the coin, it's weird, at the same time. A fact that makes them very helpful in figuring things out, but sometimes, ladies, a little bit frustrating and maybe even confusing to live with. Why? Because men operate in a sense that we see something, we're just going to get it done. But we operate at one thing, and we do one thing at a time. If it comes to changing a diaper, we're just going to change the diaper. If the house is burning down, we'll get to it in a minute. But right now, there is a diaper to be changed. If we're going to the car, I'm going to grab my Bible. I'm going to grab my iPad. I got my tie on. I'm thinking about what I got to do when I go to the car. I forget kids, for goodness sake. Obviously, I ain't got it all together. A woman, on the other hand, is very opposite. A woman can think about, I got 5 kids, and I got all their snacks, and I got their juices, and I got their coloring books for church, and I'm texting 3 people at the same time while counseling somebody and finishing up pastor's message for them. And it's like, oh, they do everything all at once. And at times, it's almost frustrating. Like, honey, did you get this done? Oh, yeah, I got this done. And she asks, honey, did you get this done? I'm like, well, on the list, I'm on number 2. And when I'm done with number 2, I'll go to number 3. See, my wife's with me tonight, say amen. Yeah. You say, well, who's better? Women are saying, women. Men are saying, yeah, man, we get it done. We're tasked. Bless God, we were here at the Garden of Eden first, right? Amen. No, look. But we start blaming each other like Adam and Eve. They're both right because they complete each other. God designed it that way. A man's not making it. Is doing his job, something's missing. So God's intention was at that time to create a helpmeet, a togetherness, a one. Excuse me, friend, for just a moment, can you look up here? Does it matter what stage of life you're in your marriage? If you're married tonight, that person completes you. It's the way God designed it. It's who he or she is. Therefore, with that spouse, may we never lose, now watch very carefully, may we never lose, and for those of you who are married, you know what I'm talking about, but don't lose the spark of marriage. Don't lose it. God gave that person to you. There ought to be a little fire that's there in the relationship. My mom and dad is going to be 71 here in July. My mom is 66 years of age, and so they're in their later years there, and dad's retired now. And it was so funny. Carrie and I talk about this often, but it's so funny with mom and dad because they're 70 and approaching 70. Yeah, mom and dad, they'll listen to this, but hopefully they'll listen later. They're not tuned in live stream. I'm going to get a message here in a minute. But you know what's kind of weird about my parents is they've had 8 kids. They've raised 8 kids. They have like 23, 24, 25 grandkids now. And yet we get together with them. There is still a spark in their relationship. They hold hands all the time. Sometimes they'll kiss in front of their grandkids. It's like gross. Ew, you know, they're 70. Gross. Don't do that. There's a spark there. Why? Because they married as best friends. They're still best friends. Gentlemen, let me talk to you for just a second. There ought to be spark in your relationship. God's intention was to have a helpmeet. That means, gentlemen, I'm not picking on any of us. I'm picking on all of us tonight. There ought to be times in our relationship where we get our wife flowers or do something nice for her, not just on Mother's Day or a birthday or whatever, Valentine's Day, Secretary's Day. There's so many. Ladies, you are lucky, I'm telling you what. And there's all these days. It ought to be outside of that. Ladies, there ought to be spark in a relationship that you've married your best friend. If you're young, if you're a millennial, if you're a little bit older, a little bit younger, no matter what life you, whether you got kids going to college, Pastor Chris, Miss Laura, whether you're raising kids like me or Pastor Dan, whether your kids are grown, there ought to be times in our relationship that we're still going on dates. We're still spending time together. Somebody help me out with an amen. Pastor Foe's the only one that's got a good marriage and amen to me tonight. Appreciate that, Pastor. Everybody else is like, oh, I'm so in trouble after this message. Hey, Ty's time to work on it. God's intention was to have a helpmeet where you have a male and a female and you bring them together. God's design always works. Therefore, God's intention was saying, okay, you are alone. It's not good for you to be alone. So I'm going to create somebody for you. This intention that we see, but I also want us to see, secondly, God's intervention. God's intervention. I want you to look at verse number 21 with me here. Look what he says. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep. As anesthesia take a place here to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took, talking about God, took one of Adam's, his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now watch very carefully. This, not intention, but now we see this intervention, was that this surgery took sleep. When it came time for God to make and help me for Adam, he caused Adam to go to sleep while he did his work. Now listen, watch. In other words, Adam was totally uninvolved in the selection process. It was like nearly everything else in life, it fell to the sovereign choice of God. It was Adam, by faith, allowing God to do what he does. And you understand for us, as we look at this marriage here, that oftentimes this is the same process for you and I. That did God have an intervention here? Did God begin to get involved in their life? Yes. And when God got involved, it always came out to the good. Therefore, when we look at, and watch now, we look at the marriage relationship, you and I have to comprehend that at times, many times, there is faith that is involved in the marriage relationship. There is faith, ladies and gentlemen, in raising kids. How many believe that? Say amen. It's a lot of faith. It takes a lot of grace and mercy and intervention of God to raise a kid in 2021. With everything of Satan that is pulling their attention away. Can I just tell you, not everyone is as blessed to be able to say at the end of this process of raising them 18 years and then sending them off to college that, you know what, I'm very proud of who I raised. Oftentimes I've looked at an older generation and said, boy, I'm telling you, you raised an incredible, incredible young man or an incredible young lady. You often, from an older generation, often what I hear is this, praise the Lord, it's by God's grace we did. It's by God's grace. It took faith in raising kids. Let me put it this way, you ready for this? It takes faith to stay together. Takes faith. You know, oftentimes what we're seeing nowadays is that people begin to know each other, get to know each other in the wrong context, and their whole dating life, career, whatever you want to call it, starts out on the wrong foot, and they jump into this dating, and they jump into marriage, and they've started out all wrong. And what happens after that? Well, And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, we don't have faith to stay together. And so, well, let's just call it quits. And you don't look the same anymore. And you don't act the same anymore. And, well, I fell out of love. Let me tell you, stop listening to that hogwash and comprehend that your marriage ought to be, by faith, given over to God and let God do with it what God does best. And that is restore and that is heal and that's to make it stronger. All of us ought to desire to have strong marriages. Amen? All of us. Now, I know not everybody's going to like this. Maybe you don't agree with it, but go past your own church because I'm just going to do it tonight. Okay, so here we go. Dun, 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 dun. If you're of the ages from 18 to, if you're just single, okay, so maybe you're 40 and you're single tonight, that's okay. But if you're 18 to single, would you just go ahead and stand for me tonight? Go ahead and stand. Go, girls. Come on, Maddie. Come on, everybody. Let's go. Let's go. You're 18 years of age. Okay, good, good. Awesome, awesome. Okay, go ahead and stand. You're not 18 yet. Okay, almost, almost. You want, if you want to stand, go ahead and stand, but nonetheless, okay. So you're single, or maybe you're kind of dating. I didn't say if you're dating somebody. I just said you're single. You're not married. Let's put it that way. So you're not married. Go ahead and stand. Good, okay. So let me put it this way. When it comes to getting married, you need to, by faith, allow God to have the choice for that man or that woman in your life. Come on, parents, help me out here. Now, is looks important? Well, of course looks are important. Nobody says, oh, bless God, I'm just going to go find somebody out there. He's the ugliest dude ever met, and that's who I'm going to like. No, nobody does that. Look, of course looks goes in. Oh, she's so hot, he's so hot, blah, blah. Okay, look, Justin Bieber, calm down for a minute and understand, does that play into it? Sure, but there is a lot of by faith that you're going to have to trust God to bring you the right person to eventually one day marry. That means this. In all the time, for all of us, Paige, Jordan, Taylor, Austin, Ben, Ethan, all the time that you put into gaming and all the times you put into, like, Taylor, what do you like to do? Sports, okay, good, good. Okay, Nicole, what do you like to do? You like to bike, sports, good. You're getting married. So, Austin, what do you think? What do you like to do? Does anybody do anything besides sports in this church? My lands. What do you like to do? Game. All right. Now we're getting somebody. Gaming. All the time that you put into sports and gaming and social media, I'm just going to ask you, how much time have you put into praying for your future spouse? How much time? Yeah, I'd say, maybe if you're on the spiritual end, you say, well, one time when I was young, I made a list of, you know, Prince Charming, and here's all what I want him to have. But we're talking about when you're 10 years old. I'm talking about, like, right now. How much time and effort are you putting into, God, send me the right man. God, send me the right woman. God, we want to serve you. We want to honor you. We want to please you with my life. You have to say amen, but if that's your desire, for those of you who are saying, shake your head for just a second. Shake your head. Is that your desire? You want to serve, man? You want to serve the Lord? Of course we do. Yes, this is us. I just put it this way. Carrie, where are you at? I've been looking for you for like 10 minutes. I can't see you. Oh, there you are. I'm behind the Whitakers over here. Okay. And can I just say this? Do you mind coming up here? Do you want to stay back here tonight? Nora's sleeping. Nora's always sleeping. What's the world? Okay, so Mark and Debbie, can I use y'all for just a second? Come on up here real quick. You can thank Carrie later, all right? Come on up here. Good, hurry, hurry, hurry. We gotta preach on this. Now listen. Understand that Mark, I don't want to embarrass you, but just be super honest, okay? Did you ever date anybody before you dated Debbie?
No.
Okay, amen. Debbie, did you ever date anybody before you dated Mark? You did not. Okay, y'all sit down and we can find somebody else. No, I'm sure. I just can't. Look, either they are lying and lightning's about to come through this roof or I picked up. So, Mark, I would say that growing up, whether you were allowed to date or not, and that's up to your parents, that's up to me, but whether you were allowed to date or not, I am sure that when you met Debbie, there was something inside of you that said, this is the girl for me. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And Deb, when you met Mark, I know it took a couple years, but eventually you got there and you said, this is the man for me. Is that correct? Now, would you not agree that oftentimes we are asked, Carrie, are we not, in our relationship? I know y'all are getting tired staying up, but you're young. Just hang on. We've been asked in our relationship, how did you know that she was the one? How did you know that he was the one? And you know, oftentimes what we say is, we just had a peace about it. We just had a peace. Where, Mark, does that peace come from?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I didn't know you wanted me to answer.
God. Amen.
Sorry, I didn't know you wanted me to answer.
Preacher Debbie, where does that peace come from? It comes from the Lord. Of course it does. See, here is a marriage that is based on God's will for Mark's life and God's will for Debbie's life. And he brought them together. And they said, I do. And they're raising 5 kids now. And life has not always been just great. There's been some ups and some downs. But here's a couple who did it right. Young person, this is what you want to desire to have. Not the Taylor Swift Kardashian marriage of Hollywood that's, you know, oh, it's up, it's down, it's divorce, it's the next person, it's that. Find someone like this in your life and ask them questions. By faith, how did this happen? By faith, Mark, what drew you to her? Well, it was this or was that. Debbie, what drew you to him? How did you know he was going to be the spiritual leader? How did you know you wanted this lady to be the mother of your kids? And I'm just saying, for you in here, stop asking what's the secret to, you know, I get through the worlds of whatever game you're playing, or, you know, how can I shoot how many goals or kick how many goals, or how do I bump set spike? You know, eventually, you're at the age now where you ought to be very interested in how to make a relationship work. If you agree with that tonight, say amen. Thank you so much, y'all, very much. Now, you may be seated tonight, young people. See, in our life, oftentimes what we see here is that there's faith. Adam's going to sit down and is involved in sleep, and I'll be done, but just watch for just a moment. It also involved surgery. While Adam was asleep, God performed surgery on Adam and opened him up and took out his rib. And it was from that rib that God made woman. Surgery, now listen very carefully, we don't know about it here in the garden, but nowadays speaking, surgery always involves pain. Often there is in times in the relationship there is going to be pain. You see, learn to trust the Lord during the difficult times to remember our commitment that we made to our spouse. That means this, ladies, fight for your marriages. Gentlemen, fight for your marriages. Sometimes it's not always wonderful. Yo, for guys, just be honest with you. We have one less rib to this day than women have. There was something that was taken from us and was given to women that helped me to understand. I don't think Adam necessarily went through pain in the garden. But if you and I look at it in the context of surgery, oftentimes there is hurt in our relationship. In fact, one Christian counselor said it this way. The only thing that I have seen that will make a marriage last is that a couple wants to be married to each other more than they want to be divorced. Now, obviously, there's much more to it than that. But understand, no marriage is going to last unless we realize that there are going to be ups and downs. So I'm just going to put it like this, and I'm just going to put it all out there tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we do ourselves no favors in our marriage comparing our marriage to someone else's marriage. We do ourselves no favor. Ladies, in the history of mankind, there is not a man on earth that ever wants to hear how someone else's husband did this and did this and bought them this and, oh, they're just so wonderful and you see them on Instagram. Listen, ladies, I'm going to help us out. That does your marriage no good. In fact, it hurts it and it will harm it. And you can find yourselves in big trouble. Gentlemen, I pray that we have figured out by now that never, ever, ever in a marriage relationship should a man bring up to his wife and compare his wife, whether it's her mothering skills, God forbid, but whether it's her looks, compare it to someone else's wife or another lady out there. Somebody help me out. Amen. Let's not make it awkward in here. Let's just get down to it. There ought to be no comparing. Now, we live in a social media age. But, Jim, you never dealt with the social media. Y'all had flip phones. Before that, did y'all even have cell phones? Do you remember a time without cell phones? You do? Man, like, tell me about it, brother. No, we don't have time tonight. But it was a dial phone. What does Andy Griffith say? He said, what's her name on there? Sarah, give me, you know. Anyways, Floyd's Barbershop. Nonetheless, you remember those days. But there's a day and age that our marriages are dealing with, Brother Jim. That we're in a comparative mindset all the time. There's always some lady out there that's cooked this massive lasagna meal, and it's just incredible, and it's wonderful, and it's out there all the time. And there's always a husband out there that, oh, he just didn't bring him to the park. Did you see them? They went down to Universal Studios. Wouldn't it be nice to have the last name fill in the blank? And instead of going to Old Park, they get to go down to, it's not going to help our marriages at all. God gave you the spouse that you have. Make it work with the spouse you have. And if there's work that needs to be done, by no means do you ever use a comparative mindset. Never use a comparison of, well, they did this. Listen, but you and I are going to find ourselves in big trouble when we start using somebody else in context to our marriage. That means this: all of us ought to just get back to the Word of God. There is this intention, there is this invention, and yes, it involved surgery and involved sleep, but you know what? It also, and I'm almost done, don't show your Bibles yet, but it also involved symbolism. Notice where the woman came from. In taking her from the side of man, God was painting a picture that speaks volume about the marriage relationship and the way that it should be. Now, everybody tune in and listen to this. This is amazing. Matthew Henry said it this way. Eve, the first woman, was made by God not out of Adam's head to rule over him, nor from his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, from under his arm to be protected, and from near his heart to be loved. Now, wait a minute. Boy, I'm just telling you. Didn't Darwin just have it right? Boy, old Darwin out there. Boy, it's billions of years and billions of years. And boy, just this is what it came down to is us. And it's a hogwash on evolution. God designed our human bodies, perfectly designed, in such a way that you and I comprehend that when we do it God's way, man and woman join together, those two at that point become, since we're all into sports tonight, not picking on Taylor and the others, but we become a team of one. We begin to separate and act like, well, I'm this and you're this, and let's take care of separate and separate and separate and separate. I'm not for that because I don't think God's for that. Today we're having a push down us, Brother Mancroni. I think we've talked about this, where it's almost like they're taking man, they're taking wife, and they're almost separating it to where you have your career, you have your career, we'll meet to exchange schedules, but I'll have my bank account and you have your bank account. Let me just tell you, friend, when we become married, we become one team. Mark, Debbie, real quick, can you come back up here real quick? Again, Carrie, you know, I told her, you got to be at church tonight and try to sit up, but I understand we got five kids and one of them loves to sleep. And London, you still with me? Doing good up there? Had a girl. And we have man and we have woman and we have a couple up here together. And they hold hands all the time, don't they? Yes, that's so good. Look at this. Dun-dun-dun. They hold hands and they love each other. And what does this show us? This shows us that they are a team. Mark, now we haven't talked about this at all, so we have, okay, so are you so nervous right now? Okay, good. Okay, just make sure. You did, but we'll practice on that next week, okay? Mark, in your relationship, Would your relationship be what it is today if I took you, you can stop holding hands, and I put you over here, and you're a teacher, and you're a coach, and you just live your life, and Deb, you're over here, and you've got the kids, and you got the housework, and you've got taken care of him. No, we'll just take that off because he's his own person now. So you just work and do your own thing, and you work and do your own thing, and maybe once a week, come together and just have a serious conversation for about 30 seconds, and then go ahead and live your own lives. Now, let me just ask you, Deb, do you think that is a healthy relationship that you would be in with your husband? No. Mark's the same?
Not a chance.
In fact, I would dare say, as much as you love this woman, your relationship probably would not last long in that mode or for very many years. Would I be right in saying that? Deb, you'd probably agree with me. It's probably not going to last. Now, I'm not by any means saying that, well, they're going to end up in divorce, but I am telling you this. Relationships that are separate like this, let's just call me the world, and I'm pushing them in different directions. You have your career, you have your career, you have your life, you have your kids, you have the kids that you like and sometimes dabble in, and you have your kids that you kind of dabble in, and every once in a while you'll talk, and I am the world. Can I just tell you, this is what Satan wants to do to our homes. This is what culture wants to do to our homes. This is what Hollywood wants to do to our homes. This is what Satan wants. Well, even if they stay together and stay married, still, like this, they're not going to do a whole lot for the cause of Christ. They're definitely not going to be taking Austin and Maddie and all these others, Ethan, Ben, all these others. They're not going to be taking them and giving them good marital advice by any means. In fact, I'd go as far as say probably not really qualified to even give them. Why? Because they're living separate lives. God's design was this, to be together. God's design, ladies and gentlemen, God's design and intervention in taking a rib and creating this was that this becomes a helpmeet. This becomes a team. This works. Well, come on, preacher. When are you going to get to it? When are we going to hear, you know, submit? Get these women to really submit. You know, okay. Whoa, hold your horses. Now, Pastor, when are you going to preach on, you know, the man and his leadership? And, well, when I marry, lousy, let me tell you. Okay, what? We're going to get to, now don't miss next Sunday night. We're just going to love it. Some of you are like, got to be busy then. Good, you're going to come, and we're going to learn how God took individuals, got married, putting God first, by faith, understanding, Mark, not everything's been hunky-dory, right? You've had hard times and sicknesses come in and bills have come in. It's been tough times, a strain on the marriage, but by faith, he got you through those tough times. By faith, Debbie, he got you through those tough times. Realizing that when God does this, you ready, college student? This is what makes a really happy home. Amen. Is it always great? No. But we see tonight, I mean, so if you want to take a picture, take a picture. But this is the portrait of a family that's in love with each other. Amen. Because they're in love with God. And we do it God's way. And there's two more points here, but we don't have time to get to them tonight. We do it God's way. Friend, the family works. Why? Because the family matters to God.